तस्मै श्री गुरवे नमः अखण्डमण्डलाकारं व्याप्तं येन चराचरम् यत्पदं दर्शितं येन तस्मै श्री गुरवे नमः.
So we start again with the promise divine. I am rising up this nation to send forth my word. This we almost every day we forget. That is why I every day repeat it, that India's independence is something very peculiar when we compare the history of the independence of other nations. For other nations it is an ascent. For India it is a descent. When something comes from above it is a descent, and here it is a descent. I am giving it, but with a purpose. And what is that? It is for the world and not for themselves that they arise. Unfortunately, we never think deeply about these two lines. These two lines are the crux of Sri Aurobindo's life, which is still being continued, and he has got physical immortality. So it is for the world and not for themselves that they arise. And how and what they should do is the life of Sri Aurobindo. But that doesn't mean it is only Sri Aurobindo's life. It is our life also. If you are studying engineering, you will be an engineer. If you are studying to become a doctor, you are a doctor. If you are studying Sri Aurobindo, you are Sri Aurobindo. It is simple as that. But you can't become a doctor in a day or two. You can't become an engineer in a day or two. You can't become Sri Aurobindo in a day or two. You can write it in brackets. You write your name in brackets, you write Sri Aurobindo, there is nothing wrong in it. So this is what is most important aspect is, the three madnesses of Aurobindo must govern us also. We should also become mad like him. The first madness is, if you believe that there is a God, do you really want to see him? Do you really want to talk with him? Do you want his guidance? All of us believe in God, but we don't want his guidance. We never even ask him to come because we are worried what he may say. So that is, all life is yoga must be oriented towards the divine. The next is, whatever you have, minimum for you, maximum for the world. Not maximum to India, not maximum to your state. The maximum is for the world. And whatever you earn, the minimum you keep it. And the rest is for others. This we always forget. It is for the world and not for themselves that they arise. I am giving them freedom for the service of the world. I say this is the descent. And technically, if you can understand the implications of it, it is a guarantee of supramental descent. Next slide. Between us and rest of the existence. Now, we come to a very difficult aspect of the yoga, where we have to synthesize the three yogas, the yoga of work, the yoga of devotion or aspiration, or the yoga of creative actions, jnana yoga, bhakti yoga and karma yoga. And all these must be synthesized with the help of hatha yoga and raja yoga. So this is our first goal. And the next aspect which we have to always remember is, even in science, it is the theory which precedes the practical. But unfortunately, in yoga, we do the practice without knowing the theory. In all religions, not only in yoga, in any religion you say the ritual is given importance. And we don't know why that particular ritual is being practiced in such a way. Almost in yoga, we forget the theoretical aspect. And any science to develop, first you must have a theoretical basis. That is why we are reading it in such a depth. But now today, I am going to skip some slides. But when I am skipping it, I am going to give you the central idea. And you always try to keep these slides with you. I think the printouts are coming. And you always try to study with the hints that I am going to give. But naturally, my hint is only a hint. What you understand is yours. What I understand is mine. That is the beauty of integral yoga. So, in this slide, number 139, 37, that is 130. Okay. The action of the secret world forces, mind forces, life forces, and subtle physical forces. This is what we have to understand first. You are living, okay. You have a physical body, you have a vital body, you have a mental body. But your physical body is in the physical world. Your vital body in the vital world. Your mental body is in the mental world. All of our bodies have been so developed by our Jivatma that it can mould itself and react to the secret world forces, mind forces, life forces, subtle physical forces. Of this we should be aware of. This is what we should practice when we say all life is yoga. Which type of force is influencing you just now? Is it a world force? A mind force? A life force or a subtle physical forces. So these distinctions between the various forces you should be aware of. For example, when we are now here, the sun's radiations are affecting us, the electrical rays are affecting us, the tube light and the special focus light vibrations are affecting this room. And your own mind vibrations are there. Every mind vibration different from each other, even though they are directed to the same study of synthesis of yoga. So are we aware of these forces? And being aware of these forces is the first step of yoga. What nature or scientists do, they don't create any new force. They understand a force, they develop their laws and apply it. So what we are going to do? We are going now to understand the mind force, the vital force, and the physicality force, if I can use it. I don't want to say it as a physical force, because physical force is a generally physical force, a materialistic force. And when I say physicality, the mind and the desire force working together dominate the physical body. So physicality is, in one sense, your desire and mind working together. Am I clear? So this is what we are going to read now. When we say the yoga of knowledge, we are studying the laws of the mind. And in it we have two. We have the capital M and the Chaitya Purusha. You have the mind, and just below it we have the Chaitya Purusha. These, the forces, the powers, the beings in the mental plane, just as there are beings in the physical plane, there are beings in the mental plane also, whom we call God, or gods, or goddesses, or whatever you call them. So these mind forces is what we learn by the yoga of knowledge. You try to understand that whenever you are reading about the yoga of knowledge, you are reading a science of the mind, the powers of the mind, which also includes your Chaitya Purusha, or your psychic being, who is a part of the mind. So these are the four things. The materialistic physical body has been thoroughly understood by the doctors. Every part of our body is known by the doctors. And they can control it, they can change the heart, they can touch any part of your body. So what has happened is, we know the physical forces, but not the subtle physical forces. And this subtle physical force is the pranamaya kosha, which is controlled by the life forces. So between life forces and physical forces is the subtle physical forces, a link between matter and desire. And then you have the mind forces. So you remember, this force is yoga of knowledge, jnana yoga. This force, life forces, come this subtle part of it. Subtle part of physical forces is known as the bhakti yoga. Bhakti yoga, devotion. And physical forces is, of course, is the kriya yoga or karma yoga. So what we are reading is how your evolution is controlled by these three, by your physical actions, by your desires, by your thoughts. If you know the evolution, and you remember when we are talking about the evolution, we are talking about millenniums, not only a few years or 100 years, we go for thousands of years. That is what yuga is. And unfortunately, we do not even think about the next day's evolution in ourselves. We think about the evolution in the promotion or in some other the way we want to develop. This, you please be very clear when we are talking about the yogas. Jnana yoga means you are understanding the laws of mind, which also includes the psychic being, which will help you to understand, to grow in the evolution. This is the stress we should give when you are reading this chapter. You don't try to read it as something hazy. There is nothing hazy in it. You know, even uncertainty is a law physically. In science, we read about Heisenberg's uncertainty principle. And how science can be uncertain, but it is a principle there. We read it and we give 20 marks to the student who writes the equation correctly. So similarly, you may be feeling a bit hazy, and I will see that you will feel it really hazy because I am going to skip some slides. But it won't be hazy if you can remember this point. When you are reading about the Jnana Yoga, you should know to apply your mind forces to your day-to-day life and speed up your evolution. If you can't do it, you should do it. You should study for that. That is where the theory becomes important. Right? So thought, jnana yoga, desire, bhakti yoga, action, karma yoga. Next. Now, we are talking about the mind, the vital body, and the physical body. But again, we should always remember that even though you think you are thinking, you are desiring, and you are acting, really speaking, you are a helpless creature in the descending powers that come from the higher planes. The original determinants of things are here, and if they were called down in their fullness, could altogether alter the whole make and economy of the life in the material universe. So not only it is the mental powers that descend, and when I say the mental powers, I don't mean only your mind's powers. There is a mental plane which works. The powers of the mind work in the mental plane in which your Manomaya Purusha is a part. We are not aware of those powers. Similarly, in your Pranamaya Purusha, the entire vital plane forces act. Are you aware of it? You are only aware of your desires, your thoughts. So this is the stress, the secretly, and from there, secretly descend influences, descending I think it should be, powers such as, which are the original determinants of things. Now am I able to convey what I am trying to tell? You are aware of the Manomaya Purusha, you are aware of the Pranamaya Purusha, you are aware of the Annamaya Purusha. Is this clear? But these are also dual in nature. One is the outer Annamaya Purusha and the other is the inner Annamaya Purusha. One is the outer Pranamaya Purusha and the other is the inner Pranamaya Purusha. And the other is the outer Manomaya Purusha and the inner Manomaya Purusha, the surface being. We individuals are aware only of the external Purusha. If we can look in, tremendous powers are there, because the outer being is controlled only by the physical powers. But the moment you look in, what happens? All these powers, and from nowhere, which if you put the comma after W becomes now here, is it not? Nowhere, the powers are coming. But where are they? Now here. Just a shift in the comma. That is what this slide is telling for you to understand. You try to understand that we are talking of the real forces, real powers. There is nothing heavy in it. There is nothing theoretical in it. There is nothing philosophical in it. It is a pure science, as good a science as chemistry is, physics is, etc., etc. Next. Now, two things may happen. Once you go in, you can be so lured by the different powers and glories that come before your eyes, unasked, that you may do not want to come back again to this world. Many scientists live like that. Many ascetics live like that. Many successful persons are only aware of their inner life. They are not at all aware of their inner outer life. And that is why sometimes it is said that all genius are mad people. And sometimes the psychologists accept that also. But they are not mad. What is actually happening is, they have become a part of these powerful vibrations which a common man cannot vibrate to. Am I clear? Next. Whoever is able to detect and renounce those obscuring agencies now. Yes? Show it again. No. Not yet. What I have left, you will get it with a square bracket. I have indicated them with square brackets. I was very particular about that because the matter is important, but the time is not. Therefore, I am giving you the gist of it, how you should look at it. Whenever you read about Jnana Yoga, what are you reading? The laws of thought, power, control. That is the difference between a yogi and a normal man. A normal man does not know the science behind the thought. So when you are studying the Jnana Yoga, or Karma Yoga, or Bhakti Yoga, you understand Karma Yoga, physical laws, but not physical laws. We say the Annamaya Purusha's laws and Annamaya Plains laws. And then we have the Pranamaya Purusha and the Pranamaya Plain laws. with sometimes Aravinda adds a word occult plane, occult vital plane, occult mental plane. But let us not try to first now understand where does he differentiate between an occult pranamaya plane and a pranamaya plane. Because we don't want to go into the subtleties, but I am pointing it out because whenever you see Sri Aurobindo using a word, you understand it is coming from the truth force, and it is the only word which can be placed there. You can't even place another identical word there, you remember that. Whether you are convinced about it or not is something else. That is why in the slides also, where I have eliminated the slides for today's discussion, I have put a square bracket. But you can understand it if you follow these guidelines. So whoever is able to detect and renounce those obscuring agencies, what are the obscuring agencies? The Annamaya Purusha is the obscuring agency. The physical body is not an obscuring agency. The Pranamaya Purusha is the obscuring agency. The Manomaya Purusha is an obscuring agency, because though he belongs to those worlds, he is not aware of those worlds. We are only aware of the physical concept. We are not aware of the pranamaya world. We are not aware of the mental world. Not as a world, we are aware of the thought. You are able to understand the difference. Just as we are moving here in this physical world from Bangalore to Hyderabad to America or somewhere else or to moon, similarly you can move in the pranamaya world. Similarly, exactly like that, there is a pranamaya Bangalore, no doubt about it. And there is a manomaya Bangalore, no doubt about it. But can you understand it? Just now quantum chemistry is trying to understand it, where it says there are not one universe but many universes. And you can shift from one universe to another universe. Science is reaching there. Next. Chapter 7. This is the title you try to understand. Again I said, even this title is supramental words. When I mean with that, what I mean is, you can't have another title. The title is the only and the only apt title for this chapter. So try to understand the standards of conduct and spiritual freedom. What does it mean? When you conduct yourself, that means when you act yourself, the freedom you get depends upon the standards you have of that particular activity. Am I clear about that? So even the title itself gives you the whole what he is going to tell. Next slide. Whenever we formulate a law, we ignore the indivisible totality of the cosmic movement. Is it not? Understood? Next slide. Out. But since the perfection is progressive, evolution in time, good and evil are also shifting quantities. Now when you have a behavior pattern, a conduct, what is the standard? If it is good, you vote for it. If it is evil, you will not vote for it. Even though you may helplessly, with Duryodhana, say, Janami dharmam machame pravrittihi. I know what is right, but I can't. But I know what is wrong, but machame nivrutti. Probably we are in tune with him. But here, a shifting quantity, even what is right at a particular level of consciousness becomes wrong at a different level of consciousness. So what is right and what is wrong must be defined in the world you are living and in the state you are living. So the what is right and what is wrong depends on which side you are. Not only in which world you are, but it also depends in which side you are. If there is a war, it depends what is good for you on which side you are. For the other party, that nation should win. For this party, this. You understand? The thing which is evil now and in its present shape
must be abandoned once helpful and necessary to the general and individual progress. So what was good for you once must be abandoned if you grow. Next. Page 192. There are four main standards of human conduct. This you remember. These four later become our integral yoga's four steps. The first is personal need, preference and desire. That is exactly how we live. And remember, the section we are reading is the yoga of divine works. So when we are reading the divine works, what are we supposed to gather? The laws of action. How you are supposed to act. So here he is giving you the four basic principles. One type of action is where you are the sole beneficiary. So you become important, the others are not important. The second, the law of the good of the collectivity. You are living in the society. Even though you want something, you are controlled by the social norms or family norms. So from a personal conduct, you have developed into a group relationship. A family is nothing but a group relationship. A society is nothing but a bigger group relationship. And the continent, a bigger relationship. And the planet, the only one relationship which you can have. Third is the ideal ethic. Now, this ideal ethic is what in Patanjali Yoga Sutras are known as the Maha Niyama, Mahavrata. The ideal ethic is beyond time and space. You have to follow it everywhere, anywhere. You must be knowing this. One Mahavrata, the ideal ethic, was the greatest exponent of that was Ahimsa, Gandhi, Mahatma Gandhi. How Ahimsa in day-to-day work can give you independence to a nation? Ahimsa, Brahmacharya, Satya, Aparigraha. Huh? No, that's Niyamas. I'm talking about the Yamas. Satya, Brahmacharya, Ahimsa, Aparigraha and Asteya. You remember these five? These are going to be very important for us. And of course, the highest divine law, where you are not at all worried about what you are supposed to do. A pen never decides what it has to write. Is it not? In whichever hand it is, it will write. If it is in the hand of a small child, okay. If it is in the hand of the Nobel Prize winner, okay. For it is neither unhappy when it is with a child, nor it goes into ecstasy when it is in the hands of a Nobel Prize winner. If you can make your instrument like that, what are your instruments? These three bodies. The mental body, the vital body and the physical body. If you can be of such a nature, where you are just not present, but the individuality is present. It is not that you are dead. It is not that you have become unreactive. It is not that you have become tamasic. The only thing is, you are just an instrument. And the moment you become an instrument, the divine works start. You even don't know what is the divine law, you need not know it. But unhappily, until you raise that standard, these three must be followed. You just can't say, I have become tuned to the divine, because with your deficiencies, with the defects that are already inherent in us, if the divine power comes, we will die. Even when Sri Ramakrishna Paramahamsa was induced into the state of samadhi, his guru was afraid that he may die. Such a pure man. You can understand the purity of Sri Ramakrishna Paramahamsa. his asteya, aparigraha, was so great that once he was sick, and just behind Dakshineshwar was the homeopathy doctor's house. So Sri Ramakrishna Paramahamsa went there and asked for the medicine. The doctor was not there. And the compounder said that the doctor will come back after 2 or 3 days. Then what to do? He said, okay, you come after 3 days and take the medicine for 3 days. And he gave him 3 packets of medicine. Do you know what happened? He couldn't come out of the house because his mind became so confused. He couldn't find the way. And do you know where that house was? In Dakshineshwar Garden, where Ramakrishna used to live, just about 300 to 400 yards. What happened? Can you understand now? He was given a medicine, not for 1 day, but for 3 days. So what is the ideal ethic that is broken there? Aparigraha. You take only for this day. You have taken it for the next day, and that also a medicine when the doctor was not present. You read it. God lived with them. That is the book in which I have read this story. They lived with God and God lived with them. There are 2 volumes of Sri Ramakrishna Paramahamsa's devotees. That is the level of apagriha to be practiced, and then you can think of practicing integral yoga. Not before that. The 4 are clear now. Personal, family and social. Permanent ethic, the example of aparigraha of Sri Ramakrishna Paramahamsa. And then of course the highest divine, he is the example. How the divine works, and how the ethic works. You will see the gradation between Sri Ramakrishna Paramahamsa and... So, for all our great people in India, there is a link, because nature never repeats itself, you remember it. Even in twins, their thumb impressions differ. And did you think that all these great souls have the same type of life? No. They are different chapters in yoga. And you should know where to place them here. Next. The divine manifests himself in 2 ways. Vyasti and Samishti. This is where the present sense of living is lacking. Even though they live in multi-storied flats, the individual families are also become individualized. Don't live a yasti life. But nature is forcing you to live in flats. If you can understand, all life becomes yoga in this way. You have to mold your activity. If you are living in a multi-storied building, and if even does not know who is living just by the side of you, that means the forces, the world forces, which are forcing you to live in a multi-flat, have failed. And you remember, nature cannot fail. What it can do is, it can remold you, breaking you and beating you. So instead of getting beaten up by nature, try to understand what is Vyasti and Samishti. Man in him has 2 distinct master impulses: individualistic, communal. A personal life and a social life. A personal motive of conduct and a social motive of conduct. Clear? Next. Jump. Against this danger of suppression and immobilization, nature in the individual reacts. Now what happens? You try to understand. I have an individual life. I have a social life. The social life tries to control your emotions and desires and thoughts so that you will not misuse them. But you can use them for your benefit if you do not disturb the other man, if you don't create a himsa in other man. But what happens? If you are only the mental body, the vital body, and the physical body, the social laws would have been all right. You have your own physical, astral and mental bodies. The other man has got his... I will put Chaitya Purusha for all these three, is it okay? When I say Chaitya Purusha, can you remember that I am talking about the three Purushas in one? So you have your Chaitya Purusha, I have my Chaitya Purusha, and the entire society has got its own separate Chaitya Purushas. And the laws of the society are in such way developed that you can have your personal satisfaction, but you cannot harm others. If you harm others, your personal conduct, your freedom is gone. But think about the planes in which the different bodies of the Chaitya Purusha are. Just as your Annamaya Purusha is here, you have a Pranamaya Purusha in the vital plane, Manomaya Purusha in the mental plane, and there you have your own rules, your own societies, and they are at a higher plane than this plane. Then what happens? The individual revolt. And that revolt may be something which we don't like, just as now what is happening. Or he may become an ascetic. And that is why we find in the history of yoga a very savage man like Ratnakar becoming a very great ascetic. Because it is a revolt. The revolt was in another form. The revolt was in another form. And now do you understand why Sri Aurobindo wanted his vision that this science must go to the world? Because if it doesn't go to the world will become a criminal society as it is happening now, because it doesn't have an ideal. And asceticism is not an ideal. It is the ideal of the past. 5,000 years ago, renunciation was okay. But not now. Can you understand what world we have to take to the world? Next. The brackets are gone. You remember these three: love, truth and justice. These words, you go on meditating every day. I don't know whether you have started writing the diary or not. But you have to do it. You know, just hearing will never help. So you meditate on these three words. What is love? What is truth? And what is justice? Love, of course, dominates the vital plane. Truth dominates the mental plane. And justice dominates the physical plane. So these three names are the crystallized power sources. So whenever you want to know what you are doing in the physical plane is right or wrong, think about the word justice. If you want to know what you are doing in your desire plane, bhakti yoga, think about the word love. And if you want to know what is correct in the mental plane, it is the truth. And this, in samadhi, we will deal more with these three words. And if I forget to tell about it, please remind me. Nyaya, physical plane. Prema, vital plane. Truth, mental plane. And these single words denote the entire knowledge. Just as if you say MA English, we know you are a master of English. Those two words is enough to know that you know everything about English. Is it not? Similarly, when you know love, you know the yoga of bhakti. If you know nyaya, justice, you know the divine works yoga, karma yoga. And if you know truth, what is it you know? You know the jnana yoga. Yes. Come back, Amma. Right, right. What is justice actually? Suppose I am eating and I am asked to do justice in eating. We use that word, no? What do you mean by that? Eat more or eat less? Or? That is nyaya. In every level in the physical plane, whatever you do, suppose I just balance it here, at the center of gravity there is just this. The moment the center of gravity is gone, it can't stay there, it falls down. Right? Nyaya. Nyaya. There is a darshan there as Nyaya darshan. There are shat darshanas in which that Nyaya darshan is a very important thing for Karma Yoga. Right? Okay? Now, just as you know that the higher includes the lower, this is a fact throughout the universe. If you have 10 rupees, it means, if you say 10, it means 9 is included there. If you say 100, it means 90 is also there. The higher includes the lower. Therefore, if you can know the laws of the mind, naturally you will be knowing also the laws of the vital plane as well as the physical plane. So that's what he means, that once you can go to the higher plane beyond mind, supramental level, you need not even know and understand the laws of the mind. So it seems to us that, okay, why should I then worry about these laws of justice, love and truth? I can just go to the supramental plane and see that includes all. Yes, it is right. But can you go to the supramental plane, or do you hallucinate that you are going into the supramental plane? That is more important. We can't control our own physical body. We can't control our own desires. We can't control our own thoughts. And you say, if the supramental truth descends on you, what will happen? Suppose there is a lot of obstructions and the power comes. What happens? You break. But nature knows. So even you say that you are practicing supramental devotion, it says, okay, you sleep well. Next. Now, this is a mantra. Supramental and spiritual life cannot be turned into a mental ideal. So I leave it at that, because you just understand that whatever you may talk about supramental descent, actually it cannot be captured in words. But then why did Sri Aurobindo write about it? Because you have to read in between the lines. It is not the words that are uttered. That is why in Sanskrit, the mantra is given a chandas. Do you know what chandas means really? That which gives a achadana. Achadana means a covering. So the words are a covering for truth. But that doesn't disturb us. Don't worry about it, because you can understand, because always words are a achadana for truth. They are a chandas for truth. That is why in Vedic literature you are told what type of chandas it is, what type of covering it is, for what type of force, that is devata, and given by whom, discovered by whom, that is rishi. So we always have for the forces a rishi, devata and chandas. Rishi means one who has discovered the law. Devata is the force, and chandas is the, you can say, the container in which that force is carried. Next, in the wherever I have given these colors, they are very important, very, very important in the slide. In the actual state of humanity, it is the individual who must climb to this height as a pioneer and a precursor. And now when we are talking about these higher levels of mind power, mind itself is very powerful. And supermind, naturally more powerful than that. And we wanted to bring it down. Now then what you have to do? You must become a pioneer and a precursor. So that is what is our duty. understand these three yogas very clearly, the yoga of action, the yoga of knowledge, and the yoga of bhakti. And try and be very, very, very clear that if you know the yoga, you should control that plane. And if you are not able to control that plane, that means you have not studied the yoga. You read it and then practice it. Don't go directly and practice it. You read, study, understand the laws and then apply them. All sadhana is application of the formulas. Right. Now, this is our goal. In the words of Sri Aurobindo, page 207. But if a collectivity or group could be formed of those who had reached the supramental perfection, there indeed some divine creation could take shape. The operating word is could. Could means it may, depending upon our exertions. A new earth could descend, that would be a new heaven. A world of supramental light could be created amidst the receding darkness of this terrestrial ignorance. The time is very, very, very ripe. People are becoming criminals. Everyone, in his own way, is a criminal in my eyes. Now these criminals go into the bhakti yoga and become ascetics. Ascetics. Renunciation. And that is wrong. That period where either you become a criminal or an ascetic is gone. Now there must be an integration. And that integration is possible only when some people have the audacity, the dareness, the courage, the faith, and they should work in a group. That is what a collectivity. Then the heaven, a new world will descend. And it will come because the truth has descended. The only thing is, we have not built the required body. If we can say the truth Purusha, just as the Manomai Purusha, if you can build the truth Purusha, Satya Purusha, then that Satya Purusha can act for the supramental world. Am I clear? And that in Vedas and Upanishads is called as the Vijnanamaya Kosha. And now the Vijnana, the science is dominating, no doubt about it. But the science has dominating only the physicality. On the planet Earth, the physical planet, the atom has been shattered. But if you shatter the vitality atom, if you shatter the manomaya atom, can you know what happens? And the atom bomb is a proof that it is possible. Next. Now, we have known how to conduct ourselves. How should we conduct? By knowing the laws of the physical plane. The scientists have already done it. We should know the laws of the vital plane and the laws of the mental plane and work along with it. And we work like this, we are practicing Jnana Yoga, Karma Yoga and Bhakti Yoga. But in all these three yogas, the sankalpa is the most important, the will. Until and unless you want really to do it, you will not do it. So how to develop that will, that sankalpa? And one of the siddhis is known as sankalpa siddhi. Sankalpa siddhi means whatever he desires happens. So this is what we are trying to understand, to develop the supreme will for doing divine action. We are reading Karma Yoga, don't forget it. You know the heading, na? The heading of this section is the yoga of the divine works. We are reading about the Karma Yoga, not a physical Karma Yoga, but a yoga where the divine law rules. In that, abandoning all dharmas, all principles and laws and rules of conduct, take refuge in me alone. This is the formula. Single formula. The formula of surrender. No dharmas, no preconceived notions, nothing. you just be an instrument to the higher power. Your thoughts must be controlled by that higher power. Your desires must be controlled by your higher power. Your actions must be controlled by your higher, by the higher power, what we call the divine. Now, it seems very difficult, but if you are sincere and honest, its application is very, very easy. At present, suppose a thought comes to me that I have to go to Sri Aurobindo Society and talk about synthesis of yoga. Now, is it a divine thought or an egoistic thought? Certainly it is egoistic. Certainly, because I say, I will finish it, I will do this, I am preparing the slides, I am saying. You are understanding it. Very, very subtle difference. Very, very subtle difference between a real surrender and a non-surrender. And now when I come here, suppose somebody says, Master Gauri, yesterday what you taught was just Greek and Latin. And now I should be happy that I know two more languages. That I know Greek and Latin. Or I may be unhappy that you didn't understand. Then, is it divine work? Suppose I am unhappy with that statement. Is it divine work? No. So it is very easy to know whether we have surrendered or not. And until and unless you have surrendered, the yoga of divine works cannot be accomplished. Sarva dharman parityajya mamekam sharanam vraja aham tva sarva papebhyo mochayishyami. In that level, whatever you do is right. But if even an iota of you thinking, you desiring and you acting is there, you have to perfect your body. And there you have to practice these three yogas, karma yoga, bhakti yoga and jnana yoga in an integrated way. Next. There are three steps for this where you can go into the divine works, the yoga of divine works. At the bottom of the bodily life, enslaved to the pressure of the necessity of desire, very clear. In the middle, the mental, higher emotional, psychic rule that feels after greater interest, aspirations and experiences. I don't think you need any explanation for this. Next slide. Third, at the summit, first a deeper psychic and spiritual state. First time, when you enter into the yogic level, it is the peace that descends on you. That is why in every Upanishad or in our chanting we say Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. We just utter it, we don't understand what peace is, what Shanti is. Once Einstein was asked, what is peace? He said, you don't know it. It is very simple, it is the interval between two wars. And we call it peace. Or you can say preparation for war. Real shanti, what the Upanishads meant was the inner silence, where the thoughts are finished. There are no thoughts. And if you have no thoughts, you have no desire. And if you have no desire, you have no motivation to move your physical body. Then which will move you? The divine. So this shanti, shanti, shanti has just become a parrot-like utterance. Whenever you say shanti, three times it means be still, no thought. Be still, no desire. Be still, the physical body will not move of its own accord because of the psychic being. Then the supramental eternal consciousness in which all our aspirations and seekings discover their own intimate significance. So be still. That is what you should practice in your daily meditations. And you remember, you cannot have a better place than the meditation place. I have already explained you why. The vibrations are important, and you cannot get a better vibration than Sri Aurobindo, take it from me, even though I have many masters. But I can understand what Sri Aurobindo is. So don't make it in your houses. That collectivity is required. And if you cannot sacrifice 1 hour's journey every day to come here and meditate, what type of integral sadhaka you are, I can't understand. Next. The social law. This is just repeating. The social law in which the ego is subjected in order that it may learn discipline by subordination to a wider collective ego. You understand that line? Why you are in a society is our ego is always curbed. The officer says, comes at 8 o'clock, you don't want to go there. But you have to go there. You don't want to is your ego. You have to go there is the subordination. This subordination to the external collectivity, if you can change it to the supermind, that is the term of consciousness which you have to do. You are a subordinate, no doubt, but you are a subordinate to the social laws. Become subordinate to the divine laws. But how can the divine descend? It has already descended. Because there is a supramental world in you, therefore you could form a psychic being. Until that Satchit Anand and supermind are there, you cannot come down to the lower levels. The lower levels are a continuation of the higher levels. So the only thing is, if the lower level rules are left behind, the upper automatically descends. Clear? Next. Just this slide. Yajya jatarati sreshtaha tatta deveyutaro jana sayat pramanam kurate lokasthadanu vartate. This is the problem where we should be careful. Even though you do not have any need to practice certain laws or meditation or devotional activities, sayat pramanam kurate lokasthadanu vartate. Because the society looks to you and it will copy you. So you should not disturb their peace. If they can't understand these high levels, talk to them of something level and give them the correct perspective of doing from their level. Jai Gurudeva. Next slide. Now, you remember these two not egos. This is highly important for the latter surrender for which we are training our three bodies. This is, all that we internally are is not ego, but consciousness, soul or spirit. All that we externally and superficially are and do is not ego but nature. If you can just understand this statement, every day we will move towards surrender. We think we are this body, whereas it is not internally the body that we are, but it is the consciousness, the soul or spirit. And externally what we are doing is, we are not doing it, but the nature is doing it. We have a false identity, and that false identity must be removed. This comes by practice. All this flow of natural activities, your activities, you think, or a flow of your desires and thoughts. But actually they are not the reason for which you are working. It is their inherent nature. Your physical body behaves like that, it is its nature. If a desire body is working like that, it is its nature. Your thoughts are like that because it is its nature. And you can train the nature. You can train the nature, but you cannot change the nature. You can utilize the nature of electricity, but you cannot change the laws of electricity. A very simple, a battery-operated experiment by Faraday has now gone to this level. But the rules, the nature of electricity did not change. Is it not? This aspect we should always remember, that some higher power is flowing through us and making us work. This, if you can always remember, Ananyas Chintayanto Mam is one aspect of this practice. You always remember that something is flowing through you. You are a conduit. You are a conductor. But we, at present, are not feeling that we are a conductor. We feel we are doing it. And one fine example that we are a conductor, we can understand by the help of the doctor's experience. When a doctor operates and gets success, he says, "I have succeeded." But he never claims when he fails that "I have failed." He says, "What can I do?" Is it not? Then, if when you have failed, it is not you have failed, but he, when you have succeeded, then who has succeeded? Naturally. So, we are using the correct words, but we are not aware of the words. The same thing happens for everything, for any desire. Clear? Next. Now, just a minute. I want you to concentrate. I am not going to explain today. There is a lot of difference between Purusha and Prakriti and Ishvara and Shakti. A hint I will give you is Purusha and Prakriti are like bifurcation. They are two different things. But Ishvara is a part of Shakti added. Shakti is a part of Shiva added, Ishvara added. You understand? Purusha and Prakriti are clearly distinct. Purusha is just a witness. Prakriti is the functioner, the force which works. But when you come to Ishvara and Shakti, they are together almost. 90% Ishvara and 10% Shakti is Ishvara. 90% Shakti and 10% Ishvara is Shakti. You understand the difference? Next. Equality and the inhalation of ego. A very wonderful chapter. Very easy to practice, but very difficult to explain. Just like cycling. You explain cycling? Left leg, right hand, left hand. And you explain, but you can never explain. But you just sit, paddle, within 5 minutes you know what is cycling. So this inhalation of ego is as simple as that, and probably as difficult as that. Because one who doesn't know cycling, it is very difficult for him to cycle. Now, let us slide. These are the four steps which we have to practice regularly, 24 hours of a day. This is what is known as sadhana. Sadhana, the minimum you can practice and the maximum you can practice sadhana is 24 hours. Less than that, it won't help. More than that, you can't do. First is entire self-consecration that I have explained to you. Surrender. First to a chosen idea, to a guru. Because the guru and his life must show you a method of how to consecrate. So you follow exactly the lines in which your guru has gone. Step by step. That means you are self-consecrating yourself to your guru. Then a complete equality. This is the crux of Nishkama Karma. Samadukhe, Sukhe Krutva, Labha Labha, Jaya Jayo. Whatever you get, whether you get a benefit or... Just now I give the example of a doctor. If the operation succeeds or if it doesn't succeed, the care hospital is full of patients. So we are also equanimity, they are also equanimity. But that equanimity we should bring here. Even though we know that going there may help us or not, we go there, is it not? Am I clear about my intention of explanation? Whether it is pleasure or pain, first you try to control yourself externally. It is just like learning a driving. When you are sitting in the driver's seat, when you are learning driving, you don't know how to drive. But where do you sit? In the driver's seat. And you don't know driving. Then what you do? As if you know the driving, you will follow the instructions. Then what happens? You learn the driving. So even though you can't really feel sukha and dukkha are equal, even though you cannot feel that success and failure are equal, you behave as it is equal. You understand the example with the driver? Then as you behave, slowly what happens? Samatvam will dawn on you. But this equanimity should not make you averse to action. You should go on working much more. That is the greatest fault that happened to India, misunderstanding Gita. We misunderstood Gita when you said the nishkama karma. And no desire, no karma. But he said, do that work without desire. How to do it? Practice it. I said, just, I can't explain you how to drive. If you practice it, it happens. And then, the third is where the real tapasya is. What Sri Aurobindo says as tapasya is this. At every moment the ego will lift its head. At every moment you will have to crush it. Real tapasya. Because if you are given you are very hungry and you are given a very rich food, nice food, but he says, eat it. Will you eat it? Why? The ego is hurt. You understand the point? So the effacement of ego is not difficult, but your real desire to push it down is very difficult. Even for small things, give respect and take respect. This age. Ego in its fullest bloom. Right? And then allowing yourself to be transformed. This is the easiest way. A transforming deliverance of the nature from its ignorant modes of action. Which is the power of the transformed? How can it transform? If you allow it to transform. We say you transform, but then we do not allow it to transform. Many people say, I surrender to God. If you surrender to your officer and you say to it to him, do you know how much work he gives you? I think you all know it. You just tell once, you will understand. I'm surrendering, I will do whatever you want, and you tell it to your officer. What will you do? You can't go home. And if you surrender to God, who is the adhyaksha of the entire prakriti, and you have time to sleep, a wrong surrender. You are not allowing. Until and unless your surrender makes you work more hard than anybody else in the world, the transformation will not come. Because if the muscle has to be built, at least you should strain it a bit more than it can work. Is it not? You have to work a bit more to get the benefit of an exercise. And here, you surrender, you say, and what type of work we are doing? You wait. Let me finish my whatever it is, and then I will come here. The transforming deliverance is only possible when your thoughts, desires and actions together completely show that you are completely dedicated to it. And it is or not, you are the only judge. Your ego is the best judge, and unfortunately it has to be thrown out. So the judge has to be thrown out. But first let him judge. Give him the power to judge. Next. The same thing, the Nishkama Karma. There is nothing there to explain to you, except the yellow color you remember, so that when you go through these lines, again he is exclaiming about this sacrifice and the Nishkama Karma. And what is sacrifice? Nishkama Karma, Samatva, and Yoga, Karma, Kausalam. When these three, that is exactly what I was telling you, have to work hard. Yoga, Karma, Kausalam. And then you should not be worried about the result. And then only you can aspire to be ego free. Next. At the stage of the yoga, you see the capital letters, unsleeping vigilance. That is what I said, tapasya. At every moment you should be aware whether the ego is deciding or the nature is deciding. Prakriti is deciding. In Sri Aurobindo's language, it is whether mother is deciding. Whether you say whether mother is deciding or Prakriti is deciding, it is exactly the same thing. Next. No, just. Next. As we have renounced attachment to the fruit, do you see that slide? As we have renounced attachment to the fruit, Nishkama Karma, whether you succeed or not, you are not worried, you go on. Is it okay here? We must renounce attachment to the work also. That's where the danger comes. Because very easily, when you are not interested, you say, I want to change the work. The best proof in the teacher's, guru's life is, for 40 years they stayed at one place in a single room and worked. Same work. And you want to change work so immediately? And you say, the divine has ordered me to change the work. And if reading these books and spreading this knowledge is not a divine work, what else is? By the authority of Sri Aurobindo, he says the supramental descent is destined. It has happened. I am the guarantee. But what I need is a collectivity of people. And if you want work for it, what more divine work you want? Because to know a divine work, you should have a pure three bodies, mental body, vital body and physical body. But luckily we have an authority who says this is the divine work. And now what should you do? You should put yourself entirely into the development of the supramental consciousness, scientific laws. It is Vijnanamaya Kosha. There are laws in it. And he has given very specifically the laws. That is why I am speaking these things, because I want to go to the laws, the law, the yoga of perfection. Got it? So, not only you should have renounced his attachment to the work, but you must renounce attachment to the work also. At any moment, if the guru says, you wait, I wait. So I am talking about the annihilation of the ego. For this, the only thing required is eternal vigilance. You be very careful where the ego is sprouting. And if you can nip it in the bud, just as it is in the level of the thought, it becomes very easy to control ego. If you can control the thought, ego can very easily go away. And when we are trying to annihilate this ego, the most important thing and the role of the guru becomes important, because to know what the divine ordains to you, you should have a perfectly pure and clean mental, vital and physical bodies. But with all our defects, the Guru has chosen you. So he knows that you are ready to be transformed. So don't ask me, can I do it? If you can't do it, you won't be here listening it. But the only thing is your negative ego, a false humility. No, I am a very simple man, I can't do this big thing. Greatest ego. In your humility, you want to cover your ego. Be very careful. This is very common to all disciples. In any ashrams I say this. You need not be so obedient because he has ordained you to spread this message. He has given you the books. Now what should you do? Study the books, spread the message, practice the truth. So, your yoga of divine works is very simple. You need not ask anybody, what is my yoga of works, what am I supposed to do? You are not supposed to do, you have to do. Your other work, we suppose you do whatever you work as a mother, as a sister, as a working man. But this work, you have to do. And now, we come to the master of the works. Is it that chapter? Equality and in the three modes of nature. The three modes of nature are what I have already told you, the sattva, the rajas and the tamas. And you remember, these are prakritic in nature. You just can't avoid sattva, rajas and tamas. If sattva is more, rajas and tamas will be in a little quantity. That is what Sri Krishna says, the gunatita sthiti. You just can't control these three gunas. If you have sattva, the other two will be lesser in quantity. If you are rajasic, then the other two will be lesser in quantity. If you are tamasic, the other two will be lesser in quantity. And now, when this topic of sattva and rajas and tamas has come, you remember three more words. Ichha Shakti, Kriya Shakti and Jnana Shakti. These are three beautiful words. We have tamas. Tamas means not sitting like a stone. Tamas means we don't have knowledge. For example, I don't know the knowledge of chemistry. So, I have inertia of that knowledge. Then what should I do? I should learn that knowledge. I get that knowledge. Then what should I do? The inertia is gone, that knowledge has come. Now what should I do? I should apply it in harmony, sattva. You should not overuse it or underuse it. When you are cooking, if you undercook, tamas. If you overcook, rajas. You cook it properly, you eat well, sattva. So these three characteristics you just can't avoid in nature. And in integral yoga, it is a part and parcel of your arsenal. It is your ammunition. It is with this, with which we arm ourselves to go ahead in the path of yoga. So these three, the Ichha Shakti, is the yoga of works. Jnana Shakti Ichha Shakti is Bhakti Yoga. Jnana Shakti is Jnana Yoga. What is it? Yoga of knowledge. And then Kriya Shakti is Yoga of works. Kriya Shakti is inertia. Because you can utilize only that substance which is inert. If I can make you understand, is it clear? You can hit somebody only if you have something inert in you. A sword or something. Suppose you have a water or a gaseous sword. What happens? Can you hit anybody? So, for Kriya Shakti, tamas is the dominant factor. So whenever you want to work, if you want to cook, the desire, you should have what? The inert utensils. Suppose you put it on the fire and it burns, so you can't cook. So you understand, inertia is also very important. Tamas is also very important characteristic. Unfortunately, I don't know, in India, when we say tamas, we are afraid. But with tamas, we mean the ability to do work. Kriya Shakti. But the ability to do work, Kriya Shakti, must be dominated by knowledge. If you don't have a knowledge, your actions have no meaning. But suppose you don't have bhakti, devotion to that work, though you have the knowledge, though you have the means to do work, if you don't have devotion to do that work, bhakti yoga, you will not work. That is Ichha Shakti. So Ichha, Kriya and Jnana forces are linked with Sattva, Rajas and Tamas. Next. Then how to control these three forces, Ichha, Kriya and Jnana? Or you can in another way say, Ichha is the physical body. Bhakti, yoga, is the vital body. Jnana yoga is the mental body. Am I clear? Is it not confusing? Not sufficiently confusing. Huh? So these three yogas are linked with these three gunas. And these three gunas are linked with our three bodies. So this is the integration which we have to do. Next. And what does that just about? Witness. Be a witness to what is happening. And this practice you can do it 24 hours a day. The other one, other practice? What did I say about the other practice? See where your ego is coming up. And crush it. These practices must be a part of your daily routine, everyday incident. You always be careful and be aware where the ego is coming up. And next, you see and watch the Ichha, Kriya and Jnana Shaktis, how they are being utilized by your three Purushas. The Annamay Purusha, the Pranamay Purusha and the Manamay Purusha. Next, the rise and fall. Next, this is the formula. The individual ego must cease to strive. So you should not decide what you want to achieve. Who should decide? The divine should decide. But the divine can't come in. Then who should decide? The guru will decide. Guru Brahma, Guru Vishnu, Guru Devo, Maheshwara, Guru Sakshat, Parabrahma, Tasmai, Shri Guru. It seems that Kabir Das used to say, Guru Govind Dovu Khade, Kake Lagu Paaye, Balihari Guru Aapne, Govind Diyo Bataaye. It seems that at midnight, the Guru and the God, Govinda, both came and knocked at the door. The disciple opened. Now the priority, to whom he should bow first? To the God or to the Guru? Then he said, I bow to the Guru first, because if he is not there, I do not recognize God. So the entire yoga of divine works can be simplified as doing the Guru's bidding. Then no individual ego. And our Guru has five dreams. All of you know it. So we don't have to wait for the supramental descendant, something coming down and make us work. If you can take up any one dream of his and make it something that happens, you are doing a divine work. So that is the individual ego must cease. Now we want to decide what the Guru has said. even though he has written it. Very unfortunate. Many times, in many, many cases I have seen in many, many institutions, once the real people are gone, unfortunately, those who have not been involved with them also try to decide. I am not saying you don't decide, but can you understand the spirit of the Guru and decide? It is very simple. But if it is the ego which is deciding, very dangerous. And who is going to tell it? Only your sincerity. Nobody else can decide for you. But the decision process is here. The individual ego must cease to strive, and then no thoughts. The mind must fall silent. And then you don't try to work for your desires and your thoughts. But you don't try to stop working for what the Guru has wished. That thought and that desire is not your desire. It is the Guru's thought and Guru's desire. Work for it. Next. The master of the work. Very simply I can say, your Guru is the master of your work. But actually what Sri Aurobindo meant was, first, you have various levels of the master of work. For the physical body, it is the vital body which is the master of the work. For the vital body, it is the mental body which is the master of the work. For the mental body, it is the super mind which is the master of the work. And for the super mind, it is the divine which is the master of the work. But even in the physical body, it is the divine vibrations that are coming down, down, down and becoming coarser and coarser. There is a continuity of consciousness. Clear? The chapter? slow. Be slow. Renounce the egoism of the worker. You can work in three ways. You can work with the mental body or the vital body or the physical body. But you should renounce that you are working it. You should understand the power that is flowing in it. Unfortunately, the names God and Yoga and this have been misrepresented. You are working with powers. Just as you are in electricity, you are working with electric power. Just as in magnetism, you are working with a magnetic power. With light, you are working with light energy. Here also, you are working with the world forces, the vital forces, the mental forces, the supramental forces. And the supramental forces, the best way I advise you is you accept what the Guru has told you and work for it, and that must be your soul aim. Next. Now you can go fast. Wait. Sometimes these words we frequently use. I have trusted to the highest and I am betrayed into suffering and sin and error. Many times we feel it. I have prayed to God and I am suffering. As if it is the wish of the God that you should suffer. In the map of India, where is Bangalore? And in Bangalore, where is this place? And here you are sitting. In a small country like India. And God is overseeing the whole world. And you say that He has betrayed you. Probably you are betraying Him. I have trusted to the highest and I am betrayed into suffering and sin and error. Or I have staked my whole life on an idea which the stern facts of experience contradict and discourage. As if you know the truth and you have really worked about it. So these are certain words which I often use, and know that they are egoistic, completely egoistic in it. Next. And you also say, it would have been better to be as other men are who accept their limitations and walk on the firm ground of normal experience. Why should I go to all these difficulties and what? Nobody is hearing me, nobody is understanding me. Nobody is hearing me, ego. Nobody is understanding me, ego. It is ego which is talking. Why should you worry? Did he worry whether anybody heard or not? He did it and did it wonderfully well. Let us imitate him. Next. Understand and accept the obvious difficulty. I am reading the golden letter words and they are very important. Understand and accept the obvious difficulty of the path and to feel the need of a faith which to the intellect may seem blind, but yet it is wiser than our reasoning intelligence. This is the crux of divine words. Faith. We feel the world can't be changed. I, a hapless, a coward, all egoism. When Sri Aurobindo says, you are a tool of the divine, and you say, I can't do it, who is right? You feel you are right, it is your ego saying. When your guru says, you understand what I am trying to tell? You don't worry who is hearing our words. You don't worry who is going to accept our words. You don't worry who is coming with us. But what you should have? You should have faith that he knows better than us. And when he says that supramental descent is a possibility, it is already there, you grab it before others grab it. As Sri Ramakrishna Paramahansa used to say, if a thief is there and he is just beside a room where there is gold, do you think he can sleep? Do you think he can sleep? And if he can sleep and knowing that supramental descent is a possibility, I don't know what I'm, probably I got confused, you know? Don't worry, next. For this faith is a support from above. So this faith is an indication of the supramental descent in you. If you have the faith, you will work. If you are working, the faith is there. Therefore, you can just capture the faith, hold on to the faith. It is a brilliant shadow thrown by a secret light that exceeds the intellect and its data. Don't try to argue. Don't put common sense there. No common sense. We have belief, we believe, that's all. That is not at the mercy of immediate appearances. Our faith, persevering, will be justified in its works and be lifted and transfigured at last into the self-revelation of a divine knowledge and divine works. Next. Okay, next. Repeating of the same thing, ascent 1, ascent 2. Just a 1 minute. If the egoism of the worker disappears, the egoism of the instrument may replace it. Be careful about that. You say, I'm a vehicle, and you feel, I'm a vehicle. But you said, I am. That is the ego. A vehicle doesn't know when it should start and when it should stop. Is it not? So if the vehicle decides when it should work and when it should stop, the egoism of the instrument starts to rise. But don't become weak thinking that it is difficult. Have faith. What is the faith? He knows. And what did he say? Read this and practice it. That's all. Next. This is the most dangerous thing. Yes? Recoil. That is what he is telling here. Started again. Master. But it has become an instrument to the ego. And then what happens? This is why I have changed the color of the... Very, very important, a warning. A much worse thing may befall those who break something of the human bonds but have not purity and have not the knowledge. For they may become instruments but not of the divine, too often using his name they serve unconsciously his masks and black contraries, the powers of darkness, the asuras, the rakshasas, the pishachas. And you know about these truths and you are not working itself means somewhere this danger is lurking in us. Nothing can stop a supramental power except your lack of surrender. If you can't surrender, supramental power can't do anything. If you touch electricity with a rubber hand, the powerful electricity can't do anything to you. And you say, I have touched this, nothing happened. You remove the gloves and touch it, then see what happens. So, you remove the gloves of egoism. And then you touch the supramental synthesis, the divine works will start. But if you touch it with a rubber glove, that what I mean by rubber glove, not working, but enjoying reading. There is nothing wrong in it. But you should know that you are not able to work. Am I able to convince you? I am not saying that you don't enjoy reading. And if you are not able to do any work, you are doing something wrong. If you know that you are not able to work is enough. In Arjuna Vishara Yoga, that is what he says. He knows what to do. But his ego says, I can't kill my people. So, if you have that Vishada, the grievance, that I know I have to do this, I am not able to do this. Even that much place is enough for the supermind to descend. So, a small iota of faith is enough. So, all these things are not to terrorize you. All these are to give you a warning so that you may know where the pitfalls are. And knowing a pitfall is always safe. Is it not? So these are not meant to disturb you. These are only an indicators on your path. Next. The attitude of the mind, behold, this is my strength, must not be there. See, I have done this great work. Adhyo abhijanvanusmi konyusti sadrishomaya. You know the shloka in Gita? The rajasic man, the rakshasa asuri, the asura says, adhyo abhijanvanusmi konyusti sadrishomaya. I have done this work, that work, that work. Who is similar to me? This is my strength should not be there. Or behold, God's power in me should not be there. But rather, a divine power works in this mind and body. And it is the same that works in all men and in the animal, in the plant, in the metal. Akhanda mandalakaram vyaptam yena characharam. Yat padam darshitam yena. You have to see it, not say it. Here, it is only lip service. You should feel that it is the same power which is working in the mineral, in the plant, in the animal, is also working in me, preparing me for the next higher level of evolution. Just as unconsciously, from mineral you have evolved to the plant, from the plant you have evolved to the animal, from the animal you have got it. You have done nothing, the force has done this. Then it can do the next step also. You need not do anything. And this is the spirit of divine works. A divine power works through me. Next. After the removal of the ego, the removal of the veil of nature and the inferior modes that govern of the mind, life and body. And once the ego is removed, the other three things become simple. What are the three things? Removal of the mental, feeling that I am doing it, the thought, my thought, and then my vital, my desires, and my actions, my physical automatically go. Next. Just as I told you, the mineral, plant, animal, and human bodies have been shaped by the above. It is as if it has not shaped us into the supramental beings, but it will do it. because it has done all these four, the logical conclusion is the evolution continues. But what is yoga then? Speeding up that evolution. You become the pioneer. Next. The divine work. I am talking about divine work from the beginning. Is it not? So what is the secret of the divine work? Annihilate your ego. And feel the higher power flowing through you and molding you. How? Just as the higher power molded a mineral to a plant, molded a plant to an animal, molded an animal to a human being, similarly it is going to mold me also. But now what you are doing in the first three stages, from mineral to plant to animal and human, it was an unconscious process. It was not a yoga. And now it becomes a yoga of divine works with this feeling. So that is what divine works is. Right? Slides 1, 2, 3. Now, the question comes. We are working all these days. And now we say we surrender to the divine. And when you surrender to the divine, until and unless the divine wants you to do some work, you have nothing to do. These are the questions. Next. The only way of understanding the truth is to live in the presence. And what do you mean by the living in the presence of Sri Aurobindo and in the presence of Mother? Or if you want to generalize it without any names, live in the presence of the Purusha and live in the presence of the Prakriti, with Prakriti deciding the step, not the Purusha deciding the step. That is where we have to read and read and read all these books. Because in all other books, it is the Purusha who decides. And the Purusha is immobile. No Shakti. And Shakti has got to have assent from the Purusha for the activities to have to mould. But even Purusha is dependent upon Prakriti for the result. Without Prakriti, the Purusha also cannot get the result. Next slide. Next slide. But it may too be called to a work which will not only alter the forms and sphere of its own external life, but leaving nothing around it, unchanged or unaffected, create a new world and a new order. You now try to understand this point. We are trying to remove the ego. We are trying to become the instruments. And we are also trying to become unconscious instruments, but conscious workers. Am I clear in this statement? The instrument must be unconscious instrument. But it should be conscious of what is being done. Because if it becomes conscious of what is being done, again the ego comes. That I am an instrument. We are trying to do all these things. Then what happens? Two things may happen. You will be where you are, doing your work. You are an officer. You are a businessman. You are a scientist. You are a laborer. Whatever you are. You are practicing this, the divine work. What will happen? The first thing that will happen is, you will become an expert in your actions. And naturally, because of the egoless state practicing, the samatva will be there. And the speed will be there. Nishkama karma will be there. Am I clear about these three steps? Wherever you are, for the divine works to happen, these three ingredients must be there. Nishkama karma, samatva and kushalatva. Expertise. But these three should be clubbed with egoless state of both the man and the instrument.
And then what may happen? He will continue his life like that. He may be there itself. He will be conscious of all this process, but no outward change may happen. Then what he should do? He will continue like that. But Sri Aurobindo says, this kala, in the yoga of works, there are four important things, is it not? We have read about it, the scriptures, the utsaha, the guru, and the kala. This is the kala aspect. So, for the divine works, wherever you are, you do this. But it means the instrument, means the sadhaka. But it may too be called to a work which will not only alter the forms and sphere of its own external life. Your external life will change for the better. Yoga, karmasu kaushalam, samatvam, yoga uchyate, and nishkama karma. With the ananya chinta of egolessness and instrumentality, consciouslessness. Am I clear about that word? You should not be aware that you are an instrument. You should not be aware that you are having an ego if you practice it. Yoga kshemam vahamyam is the promise given by the Supreme. So what may happen? The forms and the sphere of its own external life may change, but leaving nothing around it unchanged or unaffected, create a new world or a new order. That is our destiny. The humanity is the destiny. And when you say humanity, you feel we are with millions of people around, and we all of us have the great destiny. You don't think about planet Earth. You think about the world. And in the world, how many people are there? Even if you are billions. So you understand, your goal is a new world or a new order. And in one particular book I have read that around 2000, a unsacred planet Earth has become sacred planet Earth. You try to understand this and try to meditate on it. The unsacred planet Earth till 2000 has become a sacred planet from that time. It has become sacred now. They have descended, no? Now, you see, a guru was born at a particular date. But his guruism and his guruhood is known after he attains 50 or 60 years. But when was the real guru born? It depends on how you look at it. Got the point? So all these dates have their own world level meanings. The earth has taken time to become divine. Forcibly. It couldn't be rooted properly. That is why he has to leave his physical body. He has not left planet Earth. Neither mother. Mother also. So that is where I am saying, we have to learn the various worlds of consciousness. Now, next slide. When I say next, don't think I have skipped. I have already explained you. And I have repeatedly explained you that. Next. Supreme love, will and power. In the integral yoga, these three lines of approach give up their exclusions. Now, what are the three lines of approach? The work of knowledge, the work of devotion, and the work of divine works. These three. You understood? This is what we are reading until now. These three must be integrated. The karma yoga, the jnana yoga, and bhakti yoga of works. So work with bhakti, work with knowledge, work meant for divine work. These three lines of approach
giving up their exclusions, meek and police or spring out of each other, liberated from the mind's veil over the self, we live in the transcendence, enter by the adoration of the heart in the oneness, and of a supreme love and the bliss, and all our forces of the being uplifted into the one force, our will and works, surrendered into the one will and power. This is Ichha Shakti, this is Jnana Shakti, and this is Ichha Kriya and Jnana. Next. Supermind and the Yoga of Works. Next. Now, in the Yoga of Works and in the Supermind's Yoga of Works, or in any work which a human being undertakes, it is the mind which plays the most important role. It is the force of the mind which plays the most important role, because your thoughts become desire, which is converted into action. So you should know how to think properly. Next. The supramental, I have given you in the first day itself, but I am repeating it. The supramental change is a difficult, distant and ultimate stage. To become an engineer, first you read for the first 10 years, then read intermediate, and then prepare yourself for the MCET examination, and then become an engineer. Here also, the factors are the same. It cannot be and must not be turned into a first time. The moment we start a sadhana, or at any time of your sadhana, don't make the practice of supramental descent your first aim. It is Sri Aurobindo giving you this advice. Then what we have to do? Next. One must first acquire an inner yogic consciousness. What is inner yogic consciousness? Nishkama karma, equality, samatvam, and expertise in whatever you are doing. Until you have these three things, and you know the process of evolution. If you know these things, but you don't know where to go, it is just like driving, not knowing where to stop. So the force of evolution is of course the supermind, that is your goal. But you have to practice first the inner yogic consciousness and replace it by our ordinary view of things. So our ordinary view of things, we are acting, I am thinking, the ego must go. The egoless change, the ego must be annihilated. So this is the first stage. Next we go still deeper and discover our veiled psychic entity. We should know the Annamaya Purusha and his potentialities and defects. You should know the Pranamaya Purusha, his potentialities and defects. And you should know the Manomaya Purusha, his potentialities and defects. Next. Afterwards or concurrently, we have to spiritualize the being. How do you spiritualize the being? By surrendering yourself to the power, whether you know it or not. And how do you surrender? By faith. And what is faith? Your actions must show the faith, not what you say. Your actions must prove your faith. Next. Then, each stage has to be achieved separately. You just can't say that I will not cross over, I will just leave it. You have to reach every stage. You understand the three stages? The first is the three states of Nishkama Karma, Samatva and Kausala, and then the egoless state, and then the potentialities and possibilities of our Chaitya Purusha, and then surrendering it to the Lord of actions. Next. Still all evolution must move by stages. Yes, we have told that yoga is very fast. We have told that thousands of years of evolution can be clubbed into few months. But that doesn't mean that you can go directly to the last stage. You have to go step by step, but a bit faster. A hasty and ignorant mind, a too eager force, easily forget this necessity. This is where we all are guilty. Not we. All spiritualists, all devoted people in any organization are guilty of this. A hasty but an ignorant mind. And when we say ignorant, don't take it as an insult. Ignorant to the cause. Ignorant for the high level to which the master wants you to strive. We are ignorant of that. We have our own values. Then that is wrong. Next. This is another error. And here only the egoless, the annihilation of ego will allow you to be conscious of this error. Another error that has to be guarded against is also one to which our mentality is easily prone. It is to take some higher intermediate consciousness or even any kind of supernormal consciousness for the supermind. Supermind is a totality truth consciousness. This you remember. And any other mind has got its own division. So whatever you are feeling, if it is truth, it must be akhanda. So a Bharata to become akhanda, a Maha Akhanda Bharat, a Maha Bharat, is a necessity of a supramental descent, but only when we have a collectivity of supramental people. That is the gist of what this Yoga of Works says. Next. The Yoga of Knowledge, Jnana Yoga, we start it and stop it. The object of knowledge. What is the object of knowledge? The laws of mind. This is the object of Jnana Yoga. You should know that what your mind is, you are not aware of. You are aware of only what your brain captures from your mind. You understand the difference? The brain is an instrument of mind. But the brain cannot capture the entire mind. So what is this brain about which the physical doctors say is the Annamaya Purusha mind. Then you have the vital mind. And then you have the mental mind. This is the object. To know these three states. I'm clear about these three levels. The brain is the Annamaya Purusha mind. Of that we are aware. We are aware only of these things. We are not aware of the past and future. So we stop here. Because to enter into the vital mind, we need more vitality. Yeah? But tomorrow I will be a bit faster. And certainly I will finish it day after tomorrow. And I will be with you for one more hour, or more than that, for your questions. Jai Guru.